Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
You know, we do have to get used to each other. You know, everybody here is a little quirky. Yeah. Especially Jack. No, he's pointing. He's pointing at me. Yeah. A little. Yeah. Big quirky, small quirky, all kinds of quirky. Curtis always says, don't forget to turn on your this mic. Okay?
How about that? Hey. Can you hear me now? All right. Hey, just a couple of announcements. Let's see. Next week is first week, isn't it? First Wednesday is birthday Sunday. So your birthday is in the month of March. Whose is, by the way? Just a quick hand. Anybody? All right, good. All right, next week we're going to sing happy birthday to you. And just two? Now, then forget it. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's still worth it. Still worth it. And that's church provides. So what do? Just show up? Show up and eat? Are y'all up for that? Or? All right. Okay, any other announcements? All right. Okay, see this right here? That's a little bit of what I'm talking about this morning, except that it's more of a, like, put the picture up there. Let's see. Yeah. It's moving water. It's a river of living water. But it starts with a drink. All right, so let's see. I'm going to have my own version down here. There we go. Because you remember Jesus met the woman at the well, and you know what started off the conversation? It's about her drink of water. She was there filling up her jugs with water. Take back. You know, they would walk for miles sometimes just to get water, good water, pure water. And so that's where Jesus met the woman at the well. She was a Samaritan, by the way. Men and women didn't really talk to each other back then on the street. You met one, you just passed right on by. And you double didn't talk to a Samaritan. So she was a woman and she was a Samaritan. Did that bother Jesus? Did Jesus come to save everybody? Yeah. Did he love everybody? Yeah. Just the same. Yeah. So started a conversation. You know, he didn't lead with, are you saved? That's not really a good lead. He led with something that she was doing, something she was interested in. Water. So to the woman at the well, Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Pretty cool. She's interested. The woman was thirsty. If she wasn't, what Jesus said would not have interested her. You know, there's some people you can offer good news. You can offer them living water. And you know what? They're not interested. They're not thirsty. They're not hungry. What do you do with people like that? You just pray for them. Yeah. And maybe there'll come another time. So doesn't matter if you get the business or the brush off, a frown, or a get out of here. That's okay. Still love them. Still happy. It might come another time that you'll be able to get in a good word for something that they want. Jesus gave her something she not only wanted, but she needed. Living water, continually. On the inside of me? What are you talking about? Well, here's what we're going to link. We're going to link the living water with the anointing of God. Because what you see is Jesus followed the flow of the river of God. Following the flow of the river of God, is the anointing of God. So I'm linking those two. So in Luke 4, Jesus said, Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has, the A word, got it, anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, set at liberty those the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, and so on. That's what he's doing because of what? He's anointed. He's anointed to do that. It's going to work. He's going to really set people free. He's going to open blind eyes. He knows he's going to do that because he's anointed by the Holy Spirit. Now, we know Jesus is anointed, but we're not. Huh? And somebody want to correct me on that? Yeah, we're joint heirs with Jesus. John, I don't think I have it later, but in John 2:24 it says, and you are anointed, and we don't even need to tell you about that because you already know it. Yeah. How about this? We have the same anointing as Jesus and the same measure. Now, he might have moved in it more than we're doing, but we've got the same measure. He didn't leave us, you know, he's up here and we're down here, and we've got these little bowls or thimbles, but he's got this huge bucket. No. He wanted us to have everything, every resource that Jesus had, he also gave to you. So Jesus followed the anointing. He followed love's divine flow. So that well that he talked to the woman, he said, hey, it can be on the inside of you. Is that on the inside of you or the outside of you? Well, if you've received the Holy Spirit, it's on the inside of you. Okay? We don't just go to the water fountain and get a drink. It's on the inside of us springing up to eternal life. It's overflowing. Don't get enough of the Holy Spirit just to bless you. Let it overflow to where it can bless and help others. That's what ministry is. So, it's on the inside of you. It's a well of anointing, the same that was in Jesus. See the picture of it there? There you go. It's pure water, peaceful, happy, resourceful, productive, creative, and continual. Don't let anything divert it or contaminate it. Could that be possible? That water could get contaminated on the inside of us? Yeah. Pure water can become contaminated. So I've got a few tips for you what to do about that. So when you wake up in the morning, don't just pray a prayer that says, Lord, be with me. I mean, I guess that's okay. It's on a level, isn't it? Or don't let nothing bad happen. You ever prayed that prayer? I'm traveling, don't let nothing bad happen. No, here's what I suggest. Pray an anointed prayer. Lord, be in me a well of living water that overflows today. Let my words be anointed, pure, happy, and reflective of your love and purpose. Do you think your day might be a little different after you pray that prayer? Why? Because you're living in expectation of the fulfillment of that prayer. Ephesians 4:29 says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Ooh. Could unwholesome talk be a detriment to the flow of that water, that river? Yeah. See, I used to think that Christianity was all about being nice. Well, that's why you don't have any unwholesome. You want to be nice. You don't want to be crude in your speech or anything like that.
Well, at least while we're in church.
Yeah, right. Clean up your act on Sunday, though. Oh. Yeah. So, I was thinking, well, that's what Jesus wants us to be. He just wants us to be nice because he was nice. No. You know what that's for? It's for the sake of the anointing. It's to let that river continue to flow in a pure way. Not diverted, not polluted. So that's why I said, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. That keeps the water pure. Now, we don't usually read Ephesians 4:31. We'll skip over to 4:32. But here's what 31 says. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. How about that for a prayer declaration when you get up in the morning? Lord, here's what's happening today. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start right now. I'm going to put all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander away from me. Bitterness. Putting it away. Boy, if it tries to get in, I'm kicking it right out. Because I'll recognize it since I prayed that way. That's what I'm praying over my life today. You can't just do it a one-time shot for the rest of your life. You do it each day. Paul said, I die daily. That means he was praying this kind of a prayer daily. So, what's it doing? What's bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander doing to the water? It's polluting it. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get down here to the good verse. My favorite one, Ephesians 4:32. I thought my music was cranking up again. Let's start singing again. Oh, they tell me of it. Okay. Woo, woo. All right, that's enough of the train whistle. Is that you, Jack? No. Oh, it was Becky? Oh, Billy, you did that? Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ has forgiven you. Why? You know, that word Christ is the word for anointing. Anointed. See, Christ was not Jesus' last name. I used to think it was. His name was Mr. Christ, but if you knew him personally, you called him Jesus. But it's actually Jesus the Christ, which is Jesus the Anointed One. So, how about putting it this way? For the sake of the anointing, be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ has forgiven you. Give others the same amount of grace that you've gotten from God. Okay, Lord, I don't feel like that sometimes, especially driving down the highway. Do I really want to give those other people grace? I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Yeah, roll the window down. Nobody rolls the window down like that anymore. Oh, is it this? Yeah. Oh, okay. Hey! Okay. Yeah. Yeah, thanks for letting me in. That's what happens every day when I try to merge in on Jacksboro Highway. Nobody wants to let me in. So I just go on in anyway. Becky's real nice. She kind of waits for an opening. All right, anyway. But no. I got to repent. I want that anointing to flow. It doesn't flow that way. Not through anger and getting even and revenge and, you know, I'll show you. No. It doesn't work that way. So what is it? Do you want to feel good about telling somebody off, or would you rather have the anointing? Think about it. Hey, it feels good to tell somebody off. It feels good to let somebody have it. It feels good to have a pity party. But what happens? The Holy Spirit's got to sit over here on the sideline, go, let me know when you're finished with your pity party, and then we can do something together. Okay, so there's river blockers. You ready for these? And when I hit yours, raise your hand. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to. Because I'll guarantee you, I would be raising my hand on every one of these at one time or another. Raising both hands over there. Negativity, complaining, gossip, criticism, judgmentalism, arrogance, pride, apathy, sarcasm. I'm bad about that last one. I don't know. Anybody else here get sarcastic sometimes? I have to tell my wife. My wife gives me this look. Can you give me that look? Oh, she gives me this look like, hey, I'm fixing to sock you. That look. I'm fixing to sock you. And then I go, what? I was just kidding. See? That makes it okay. I was just kidding. Then she goes, I'm still going to sock you. Yeah. All right. So, all right. 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the weaker vessel. Don't worry about that weaker vessel. You might say, hey, I'm not sure women are weak. Women are just as strong as men. Well, you know, try picking up that 100-pound thing and putting it on top of something. That's where you need the man. All right, so maybe that's what he's talking about. It says, since they are heirs with you. Boy, I'll tell you what, that just elevated women. Now they're heirs, co-heirs with you and with Christ. Women, you are co-heirs with Christ. You have the anointing just like a man has the anointing. It's genderless. All right. So, but here's, I'm really getting to the main point here of this scripture. Here it is. So that your prayers may not be hindered. What another way of saying that is, so that you can stay in the anointing. Want to be anointed? How you treat your wife is connected to that anointing. Yeah. I'll tell you, on Sunday morning sometimes, I used to preach every Sunday, Becky and I could actually have a little disagreement, and there could be intense fellowship, we call it. And all of a sudden I'm thinking, you know what? Here you go. Here's my notes. You preach them this morning. I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to sit down over here and I'm not going to church. And then Becky says, oh, yes, you are. Yeah, you're going to do it because we're going to kiss and make up. We've got to. You know why? For the sake of the anointing. And it's not that God is removing something from you. You removed it through strife. Yeah, you're removing it. God's saying, I wish you had it, and it's there. I've already given it. There's a river of life flowing out. It's there. Anytime you want to tap into it, get on that river, get in your kayak and float down it, go down the rapids, whatever you want to do. It's there, and it's flowing all the time. But you can dam it up. Sorry for cussing. No, that wasn't a cuss word. All right. So, for the sake of the anointing, it matters how you treat each other. Build each other up. Encourage each other. Forgive each other. Repent. Apologize. You're right back in there. So, anointing blockers, strife, stress, offense, self-pity, anger, unforgiveness, poor self-image, thinking you are unqualified or incompetent. Did I get anybody there this morning? I'm just going to stare at you for about 5 minutes. I'm going to go like this. What'd you say, five of them? There you go. Got to be honest, don't we? Yep. Uh-oh. I just lost my. It's here somewhere. Oh, there it is. Oh, yeah. Boy, I'll tell you, that hits me hard. Every one of those things that happened to me. Especially the incompetent. You know, lacking confidence sometimes. Well, you've been preaching for how long? 40 years? You're lacking confidence? No, sometimes I still feel like David said, I don't know how to come in and go out. Holy Spirit, if you don't go with me, I don't want to go. I can't do this thing. Oh, I can stand up and talk, but it won't have much effect. I want the anointing. I want my words to go into people's hearts. And they respond to it. Okay, here's a recommended prayer. All right. Lord, today I refuse to dam up the anointing on the inside of me. I'm going to walk in love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, etc., so that the anointing can flow through me. Lead me to thirsty people who want living water. See, what that'll help you do that during that day, you'll be on the lookout for people to share that water with. Hey, you thirsty? Sometimes when people are working at our house, like we're remodeling our shed, nobody remodels their shed. We're remodeling our shed. But sometimes I'll go out there with some water and go, you thirsty? Nobody ever says, nah, get that out of here. We don't drink water. Always want that. So spiritually, people are looking for things and you've got something that they want. Hopefully, they don't want it, then you go on to another person. But try it out on the clerk, on the person that takes your order over the Chick-fil-A box, whatever it is. Be careful, because sometimes they don't get your order right and you get irritated And then you say something that's, yeah, it's not anointed. Yeah. So, anyway, so you make a commitment that day. This is what I'm going to do because I will be tempted to do the wrong thing. I'll be tempted to say the wrong thing. All right. Lead me to thirsty people who want living water. So, how many of you have a water purifier at home? Some of you? We've got one. We've got those little sparklets thing right here. And 5 gallon bottles. So, how about of living water? Do you have a 5 gallon bottle of that at home? Well, don't worry, because it's on the inside of you. Yeah. So if you think you weigh more than you think you should, you've got 5 gallons of living water on the inside. That's got to add some weight. Does that make you feel better today? Oh, that's the explanation. Water retention. Yeah. So, but here's what I want to say. There's also a water purifier in here. See the woman pointing? Yeah, okay. In here. Let your heart purify it, but your heart can also pollute it. So let's purify our hearts and then let the water run through it. There you go. You can do it. Nobody's disqualified. Nobody is incompetent. Oh, that's for the missionaries. That's for the preachers. That's for church leaders. No, that's for everybody. The priesthood of all believers. Every one of us are anointed, meant to be anointed. All right. So, y'all remember this little song? There's a river of life flowing out through me. Yeah, I just thought of that when I was doing these notes. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. Why? There's a river of life flowing out through me. Yeah. See, it's coming from that river. I don't have all those resources. I don't have that much to contribute or to help you. I don't really have any help on my own. But that river of life, wow. It's got everything that you need to get set free. There's a river of life flowing out through me. So, just like a well, you have to prime the pump. And I say you prime it with happiness. Positive, friendly, faith-filled. Smile. You ever smiled while you're... That helps you prime the pump. Smile while you do it. And be gracious. That primes the pump. Yeah. Now, I've never actually gone up to one of those pumps that you do, but remember, what's his name last week? Roger. Yeah, I know him. I just went blank. You know, Roger told about the time he did that, and he started to drink that bottle by the well, started to drink it, and the guy said, "What are you doing? Put that down. You don't drink that. You use that to prime the pump." Yeah. So, prime that pump. Happy, positive, friendly, faith-filled, smile, grace. Can you do that? That's all within every one of your capabilities, mine too. Yeah. You might say, you know what, I've just got a bad attitude. I've had it all my life. No, you can get rid of it. Sure can. You just tell it to go. Replace it with a good attitude. Friendly, faith-filled, positive, smile, gracious. There you go. There's the guy filming it right there. Okay. When I give tips to people about doing a sermon, I'll say, when you say in conclusion, then conclude within 30 seconds and stop. You know, there's something about people when they start talking, they can't stop. It just gets them revved up. Here's my exciting conclusion. Grace not only flows to you, but through you. Will you let it?